We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
This is Sports Sunday.
Here's something that is deeply, deeply upsetting. Cut Pat Mahomes to make the space if you have to. I don't care. Not good. You feel pretty good about your pick right now, right? Oh, Mahomes had to bring 4.8. Boom, you're dead. Boom, you're dead.
With Joshua Briscoe.
We know it's going to end in a heartbreaking playoff loss. I mean, like, and do you move Travis Kelce to quarterback? Because I probably would. We saw him. But he's got a cannon, man.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ah!
Yeah. Rudy did me a terrible disservice in that liner. That is not. That is so out of context.
You did say all these things.
All those things about our NFL street team.
I think it all came from the same show.
It's also true. Yeah. That's also true. God, I just hate
different segments.
Hearing myself say things like cut Pat Mahomes because he ran a 4.8. He had a 4.840. It's upsetting to hear. It's upsetting to hear playback. Welcome back into Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 10 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe. That's Rudy Salazar here with another hour of A-plus entertainment. Switching gears now also. Oh, look at that. It's a little Indy 500 pun, because that's the thing I'm next. Switching gears. I want to talk about the NBA and the possibility of it coming to Kansas City, and we have the man to talk about that with here on the line. We'll get to him in just a second. The reason we're talking about it again now is there was another tweet out 2 days ago from Jarrett Sutton, who had that first tweet that blew up the conversation for a couple days. He had another tweet a couple days ago saying from an NBA executive that he, quote, "I'm hearing that KC might end up being the next in line to get a team. They already have an NBA-caliber arena in Sprint Center. The league looks at teams like OKC and San Antonio and how successful they've been and feel like KC could be a similar situation. Seattle would be the most logical, but they don't have an arena built, so it could take some time. Vegas is probably desirable, but I think the NBA is going to be cautious. They do have T-Mobile Arena, but not sure how it works politically there. KC is first in line." Prompted by a follow-up question from Johnny Carver, who's currently on the line, Jarrett said it's not the same source that he had for the first one, so you've got at least two executives there. So let's talk about that now with Johnny Carver. He's the author of Rankatology. He's currently working on a book about the legalization of sports gambling in America. He's got a smattering of NBA experience, and he is the most likely person in my life to eventually hire me as a team reporter for whatever NBA team that he's the GM of in 10 years. You can follow him on Twitter, at CarverJohnny. Johnny, go ahead and tell me that the NBA is coming to Kansas City tomorrow.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it. You want to be a reporter? That really surprises me. That's not what I thought the job of choice was for you.
No. I don't. But eventually, like, desperation wins out, and like I'm going to apply for that job. And unless Scott also applies for it, that absolute weasel, then I feel like I could at least talk you into letting me have a shot at it.
Now, what tells you that all the basketball people have anything to do with reporters? That's my question. Because I know, like, if that were the case, they would just hire all the reporters that are going to say good things about them. Nobody gets fired, huh?
I imagine that you're doing kind of like a Scott Pioli thing, because eventually, whenever you do have the type of power offered to you that you're looking for, you are going to be looking for that type of just unencumbered power that gives you full reign over everything, including what reporters are hired. Just write that in your contract. Just get my name in your contract, please, so I can have a salary.
You know, that unencumbered word, that sounds like some sort of law school word that I'm trying to stay away from now that I've ended the whole law school first year thing. So
yes.
I'm going to stick away from that. But I think your question was, how likely is it that a team's coming to Kansas City? Is that where you're getting at?
No. I asked you specifically, can you please tell me that an NBA team will be in Kansas City tomorrow?
No, I cannot tell you that. But here's what I will. I will start with kind of the facts of what we do know about NBA expansion.
Yes, please. This is the actual thing that I want you to set up for us. Inside radio, or whatever, all of this. I was talking with Johnny a couple days ago. And Johnny brought up really good points here about some information that can inform this conversation a little bit more. So yes, Johnny, please inform the rest of us as you've already informed me so beautifully.
All right. So in terms of information that can inform, I went back and I read through the collective bargaining agreement for the NBA, both the 2011 and 2017. And what I found is that there is an NBA expansion clause in both of those collective bargaining agreements. And for those of you who don't know what that is, the collective bargaining agreement is a document that is agreed upon between the owners and the players that they use to set the rules for the league. And so this is not completely uncommon. This is not anything that's new. Mm-hmm. The NBA can expand. That's all that we know about that in terms of the clause. They have the rules in place and the structure in place to do this. Mm-hmm. The last time the NBA expanded was 2002 when the Charlotte Hornets went to they went to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And so the NBA decided to give Charlotte their own team, so they expanded from 29 to 30 teams. So this has happened in the past. The NBA has expanded many times. They've gotten bigger. And so in 2016, the NBA said that they were not interested at all at this time in expansion. But this changed in 2017. Publicly, at that point, Adam Silver said that he believed that NBA expansion was, quote, inevitable. So this was a big change for them. Mm-hmm. They said they went from saying that, you know, this is not something you're looking at to saying that it is inevitable, and he specifically mentioned Seattle. And so Seattle is really important because they lost a team in 2007, and the league has been very open about the fact that they want a team back there. It's one of the largest markets in the country, so it makes sense for Seattle to get their own team again.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think that they would want to have two teams rather than just one, because right now they have 30.
Yep.
Having 31 teams makes things very difficult, because then you have more teams on in one conference than you do in the other. This is something the NBA has done in the past before, but what makes it tough is that one, you know, obviously one conference is lopsided. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's much more likely, or not much more, but it's a little more likely to make, you know, the playoffs in the East than it would be the West.
Right.
So you would want to have some balance there, if
right.
that makes any sense.
Sure, of course.
So that's where we're at right now. The NBA wants to expand. They have not put a timetable on this. They've said it very specifically. We have no timetable on when we want to do this, but Commissioner Silver said one of the positives is that, you know, there's only a certain amount of slots for these good players to be able to make the league. I think it's a little over 500 players that can play in the league at one given time, and, mm-hmm. and he feels that you know, there's more good players that have the ability to play in the NBA than just that.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd like to be able to spread the wealth, if you will, and allow more players to get that opportunity. But what really sets the bar for this is that owners want these expansion fees. So these NBA owners, when there's a new team that's added to a professional organization, you know, they set a price for what an NBA team should be worth. And right now that's estimated to be about $1.4 billion. So for each team, if you wanted to have an expansion team, if you're an owner or an ownership group, rather, you would have to pay $1.4 billion as an entrance fee to enter the league. So the NBA owners that currently own teams get to divide that money within themselves and keep that for their own organizations or for themselves to either sit by the pool or, you know, throw into their organization, whatever they want to do with it.
Right.
So that's what's important to them. They can get a lot of money out of this. That's why teams have expanded in the past. It all has to do with money, which is really, when it comes down to it, you know, it always comes down to money, you know, no matter what facet of sports you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the main thing. But here's the problem. The NBA just signed a very large television deal, and it goes for 7 to 9 years. I can't remember exactly how long it goes. And so, for example, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, has stated publicly that he doesn't think the NBA needs expansion at this time because it's not like the well is dry.
Mm-hmm.
They have plenty of sources of revenue. So in terms of like how much they want to do this soon, I don't know that there's a whole lot of pressure for them to get this done immediately, because it's not like the mid-2000s where the NBA is really looking for revenue. And right now, they're doing really well in that aspect. But at the same time, I mean, Adam Silver has said he wants to expand. So
right. It
is my belief that the NBA will want to do this at some point, maybe before the new collective bargaining agreement ends, which would be 2022, 23. So we're looking at a larger timetable, because it takes time to do this. And so, you know, it's definitely a thought that Seattle will be a front runner for a team. But then if they were going to expand to a second team, they could be looking at cities such as Las Vegas, which is one that's very obvious. And I know you talked about that with Sutton's tweet, you
mm-hmm.
know, saying that they might be reluctant to do that. And I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on what you think of that. But, you know, there's some people that believe that they would want to go maybe in the Eastern team rather than realigning the conferences. Because unlike the NFL or the MLB, the NBA is very specific about how they regionally divide the teams. So right now there's 30 teams.
Mm-hmm.
They do 15 in the East, 15 in the West. So if you added both Seattle and Vegas, they would both be in the West, which would create a conference imbalance. You'd have to throw somebody to the Eastern side.
Right.
But they've done a pretty good job of dividing that thing down the middle. So it would be pretty tough to throw a team into the East.
That's interesting.
And it's very possible. It is certainly possible. And that might even be the case if they were to add a team in Kansas City. They might have to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought is, you know, if there is some sort of hesitancy to go to Las Vegas, for example, if they were to do this, I want to make sure everybody knows that, you know, I'm not some sort of NBA insider.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just speaking just directly from public knowledge and what I've been able to research. So, you know, if they wanted to do that, if they didn't want to go to Vegas, then you have to look at other options. And
right.
The two options that make the most sense, at least to me and I think to a lot of people, are Louisville and Kansas City.
And so I think that's the payoff. Now, the Vegas thing is interesting because I find it interesting that the NBA might be afraid of Vegas, because the NBA being a follower on something like that feels out of character to me, because the NBA has been good at saying, we're going to be at the forefront of the legalization of sports gambling in America. We're going to be at the forefront of I guess not necessarily social change, but we're going to empower our players, be at the forefront of that. We're going to be a league that embraces the individuality of players and social media and all of that. So the NBA being a follower on the Vegas front is interesting, but no matter what, now they're at a point where they would at least be following the NHL, and also really timeline wise also following the NFL. So that's interesting.
Well, here's the thing. So you said that you don't necessarily see them as followers, but to me, I see them as very progressive. And
right.
They've done this in the past. So in 1995, the NBA expanded to two Canadian cities. They went to Vancouver and they went to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
The MLB had already done this. They had gone to Toronto in the past. Toronto had just won two championships with the Blue Jays in the early 90s. I believe it actually was 93 and 94. So they were followers in that sense. They followed in other aspects. You know, they've taken different ideas from other entities. They've done it from you know, whether it be with their television broadcast, from baseball or football, different rule changes. They've done a lot of that stuff. So it's not uncommon for them to want to do something that somebody else has done.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I actually think that Vegas could be potentially a good option. Now that they've seen that it's worked for the NHL, they could look at this and say, we can do that too. And there's a great arena there. They have that T-Mobile arena. I used to live in Vegas. I did this past summer. And, you know, that arena is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right down in the middle of the strip. And I think it's a great location. It's a great arena. You know, I think it's a city it's growing. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. So it makes sense from that side they would want to do this. The problem is, how involved with gambling do they want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about, you know, how close do they want to be to the casinos. I'm talking about ownership. I'm talking about, you know, getting casino-type people involved with the ownership directly, because those are the people with the money. I mean, that's where their economy comes from in Vegas. And it's different for every city. You know, for Kansas City, maybe the money comes from, you know, Cerner, Hallmark, some of our breweries, you know, things like that. Every city has their own thing that makes their economy grow and where their rich people come from.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas, theirs is gambling. Theirs is casinos. So, you know, a lot of these other these other leagues have not necessarily wanted to dip directly into that. Does the NBA want to get involved in that? And so that kind of becomes the question.
And so this, I think, leads into the other thing I want to talk to you about, which is, what does a city, and then specifically Kansas City, but what does a city need to be one of these viable options? It sounds like you're on board with saying it's Vegas, Kansas City, and Louisville behind Seattle as being the three places that have the most logic, Vegas being something that is really based on, like you just said, how interested and how involved does the NBA want to be in the gambling world. But what does Kansas City need to jump ahead of Louisville? Where do you feel like those cities are in the process? What is Kansas City lacking, or is Kansas City ready to go?
So, in my opinion, you need three things that are extremely important to have a city that's ready to support a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is you need fan support. Kansas City has fan support. We are a basketball town. You know, I grew up here, and I guess it's not obvious because I'm not sure if your viewers or your listeners know who I am. But well,
and you've lived everywhere. You can claim some sort of asylum in like 30 states at this point.
It's so funny, you know, when I ask my phone, you know, I say Siri, take me home. It's like, which home? And I have
right.
like six different addresses that I've thrown in as home. So it's like, I mean, I've lived in, I think six states in the past 3 years. It's crazy. So anyway, you know, in terms of Kansas City, they have a lot of they have a lot of basketball fans, and I think a lot of us know that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that has to come from KU being in Lawrence, which is very close.
Mm-hmm.
We have a rich basketball town. We've had a team before. You know, we had the Kansas City Omaha Kings in the 70s and 80s, and you know, we were able to support them at least decently. I think a lot of that problem had to do more with the Kemper Arena situation than anything else.
Mm.
We have a town that I personally believe can support a team. So that's the first thing. You need fan support. The second thing you need is an arena.
Mm-hmm.
We have one. The Sprint Center would rank, I think, among the mid-tier of arenas in the league in terms of having enough seats. You know, they would be able to sell tickets, I think, in a similar manner as the Cleveland Cavs, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. somewhere around like the 12th or 13th highest in terms of attendance if we were to sell that place out every game. And that would involve us being a good team, like mm-hmm. Oklahoma City was immediately. But it's different for an expansion team. I know Vegas has shown different. That's a total outlier. It is very difficult to become good, you know, when you're an expansion team. And we can talk about that later if you'd mm-hmm. like. But basically, the second thing you need is an arena. We have one downtown. It's near. It is near the Power and Light District, which is great. You know, they have good seats. They're comfortable seats. We've had exhibition games there. I think they've gone well. So in terms of the arena, in terms of the fan support, we have it. But the third thing is the most important thing that you need, and that's an ownership group. And so that's the thing that I obviously have no idea what's going on with that. I don't have any privy to information. My guess is that it's going to be much easier to get minority owners together to build an ownership group, which is basically what you need. You need to come up with this $1.4 billion to come up with the expansion fee. And on top of that, you're going to have money to run this organization itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of money. I mean, that's not something that your average person has, or even really many cities don't have anybody who has that kind of money.
Right. Do you think
Kansas City does have those types of people?
Mm-hmm.
But what they can do is they can build an ownership group, which is very common if you're going to want to buy a team. I think that, you know, you can have people that come up with $100 million or less. Some of them sometimes are more known names that can, you know, build the whole ownership group and market it.
That's what happened with the Marlins, right? Like with the purchase of the Marlins? Okay.
Right, right. And so the main thing is you need a majority owner. You need somebody that owns the team by more than 50%. So mm-hmm. somebody that can come up with 51% or more of that $1.4 billion.
Johnny, this is a really specific question. Sorry to jump in there. But does it have to be someone who owns 51% of the team, or could you legitimately have 50 guys that own 2%?
To my understanding, you need a majority owner.
Okay. That makes sense. I just never even thought of that.
I don't want to be the type of person that tells you I know something that I don't.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's
right.
Fine.
The crazy thing about this is that, like, the NBA doesn't expand enough for me to have
right.
a great understanding. I mean,
sure,
the last
that's fine.
Time this happened, I was, what, 6 or 7 years old?
Yeah, for
2002.
Sure.
So, I mean, the NBA's done this. They did it in 1987.
Yeah.
I think they did it in 89, 95. They did it again. The last time was in 2002, and that was a strange circumstance. They were trying to replace a team that was leaving. So
right.
this is not something that happens very often, but to my understanding, what gets the ball rolling is having a majority owner. And so you have to look at some of the people that have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you need somebody that, you know, whether they are a CEO of a company or, you know, something like that. And they probably need to have Kansas City ties, because you want to have somebody that's interested in specifically having a team in Kansas City. So just because our city works as a great location doesn't mean that we have an ownership group that's ready to purchase a team and put them in Kansas City. And I think that is going to be the biggest thing. If the NBA is going to expand, that we need to get together. And not necessarily we as in you and I, we as in the city of Kansas City, the Kansas City Sports Commission, the powers that be. They need to find owners that would be interested in throwing a team in Kansas City.
I just have a little bit of time left here, but I have a couple quick questions. First of all, I would like to say that I'm totally ready to throw in $50 to be a minority owner. That is about all I can add. I don't think I have enough for the 51%, but I'm happy to throw in. I might be able to get to $100 if I stick to ramen for another week. So of the three category thing is fantastic, and that's something I want to make sure that people really latch on to: fan support, arena, majority owner.
Right.
Those three boxes to check make a ton of sense. Also, I think that those three cities we just talked about, Vegas, Kansas City, and Louisville, already have two out of the three. Louisville and Vegas maybe have a little bit more of a question of fan support than Kansas City does. But we know that Louisville can handle a basketball team, and that city would be able to bring together two rival college basketball fan bases to one NBA fan base. There's a little competition there with all the basketball, but I think it's extremely interesting. And they have the tremendously named Yum Center, which seats 22,000. You talked about Vegas. That the T-Mobile Center down there seats 18 for basketball. Sprint Center seats about 19,000. So there are good new enough arenas in all of those places. The fan support, I think, could be at least justified in all of those places. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like then Kansas City and Louisville are both. Tell me if you think this is a fair statement. Not if it's necessarily 100% fact-checked, but tell me if you think this is a fair statement. Kansas City and Louisville are both looking for majority owners, and Vegas is going to have an easier time finding a majority owner, but the NBA would have to be cool with it being, in all likelihood, a gambling-based majority owner. Is that fair?
Well, let me stick to the facts. So I'm gonna totally like not answer your question,
it's the
but
worst.
I'm going to give you it's really important information.
Okay.
So here's something that happened very recently. So an investment group put up money to lure an expansion team to Louisville, Kentucky in February.
Okay.
So this group was led by Dan Issel. He's a former NBA player and some investors. Silver told him, according to Issel, which was a quote in USA Today, that he's flattered that Louisville's interested in the team,
mm-hmm.
but there's no timetable, which is what I told you before.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they have this arena. So, but the group still needs to identify a majority owner to get that $1.4 billion. So that's where they're at. To my belief, you know, based on what's public,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like Louisville is further along in the process. They have all that stuff together.
Right.
You know, that could very well be together, and it's private, and it's something that I'm not privy to, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know about it. But as far as what's public, it sounds to me like Louisville is further along in the process. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're the ones that would get the team, and Kansas City wouldn't if the NBA were to expand. The NBA might not expand at all. I find that unlikely based on the comments that Adam Silver has stated. But even if the NBA decides, okay, we're going to start taking applications for this thing, it requires a two-thirds owner's vote. So the owners have to vote that they want a team there because it has to be in the best interest of the NBA. It has to be somebody, you know, it has to be a city that's going to bring in fans, it's going to bring in television revenue, it's going to do all that stuff. So it could be that all three of these teams or more cities come up with ownership groups and they're ready to go. They're ready to make this purchase. They're ready to do the negotiations. But the owners have to vote on our city or any other city to do this. And that's the main thing that you got to remember.
John, it's always great to talk to you. Always great to hear your information. Even if it's just taking the public information and then wrapping it up for the rest of us. Even if you insist on making sure that everyone knows you are not reporting inside information, you do a great job of taking the things that we need to know and then feeding it to us in these bite-sized morsels that we need. Follow Johnny on Twitter, at Carver Johnny, and I don't know, go buy his book or something. Thank you, Johnny.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and I'm sorry if I didn't answer your questions directly, because that's what I do.
Yeah, that's okay. Listen, if I wanted someone, here's how we're going to do this. We got a bunch of great information from you. Now we're going to take a commercial break, and whenever we come back, I'm going to make bold, brash statements with less information and also less nuance, because that's my job. It's perfect.
That's why we work. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you having me on.
Always going to talk to Johnny. Follow him on Twitter again at Carver Johnny, and then be prepared for him to eventually own your soul or GM your basketball team in your area. In Louisville. Oh, no! Did I just stab you through the heart with a steak? Maybe we'll talk about it next.
This is Sports Saturday.
It's so sexy to have assets. And
yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, you're an assets man. I get it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You think assets are sexy?
What's the most exciting exciting part about having the number one overall pick. It's that
that big fat asset
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I think I figured out a good thing with Johnny Carver, who's again like so good at pulling all this information together. He gets all these ingredients, right? And listen, he's I don't want to say that he's not what he just told you he was. He's not just a dude. He's like, listen, I'm not an NBA insider. These aren't reports. And he's right. He's not reporting things. But he's also not just scrolling through Twitter. This is what he does. So he does a fantastic job of pulling all these ingredients together, and then he makes us a nice he boils it down a little bit, and then I'm gonna take it now and I'm gonna strain it. I'm going to put it in a saucepan. We're going to get a nice syrupy reduction out of that. It's a two-step process, and I know that maybe sometimes radio isn't built for a, you know, like a 45-minute recipe to actually understand all of this and truly boil it down into the syrupy reduction that you're so used to, but that's the sacrifice we make doing smart sports radio sometimes. Sometimes you got to let that simmer. Got to get that simmering. So there are a few things there, again, from Johnny in this conversation that I think really informs a more level-headed, intelligent conversation, and some things that I've learned from him in these last few conversations we've had about this. One of the things that we talk about the most in this area is, you know what, Kansas City has an arena, and they've got the fan support. Let's get this bleep done. And that's true, and that's fair. But that's not sufficient, because maybe Kansas City is supporting professional sports teams already. Maybe Kansas City looks a little bit safer from a fan support perspective than Louisville. Or maybe you say Louisville's basically supporting two professional basketball teams in Louisville and Kentucky. Close enough. Rudy, you're a Kentucky guy. How far apart are Louisville and the University of Kentucky?
It's just under an hour and a half, like an hour or 15 minutes.
Okay. Well, okay. Do you think that Kentucky would pick up on a Louisville professional team? That maybe not. Maybe
so,
I'm overestimating that.
I have some friends who obviously like from Lexington who cover UK, and they are in favor of a team in Louisville. Now they were from Louisville, but they went to UK, but they went to Lexington. They are in favor. I don't think this would be a big deal because they weren't like a huge thing.
Uh-huh.
Indianapolis is also like an hour and a half away from Louisville.
That's interesting.
So the Pacers are close, but again,
I hadn't thought about
Pacers
that.
Pacers are on TV there, but I didn't know an overwhelming amount of Pacers fans.
That's fair.
I think it's mostly like Kansas State where it's like, since the NBA is not there, nobody really cares, but I think they would get behind an NBA team. And again, Lexington is a short drive. Like that's an easy drive to make.
And the branding, it would be interesting if it's in Louisville, but they're the Kentucky whatevers. I feel like maybe that's an easier pill to swallow for Kentucky basketball fans where it's housed in Louisville, but it's not.
Cincinnati's not too far either. And
that's also true.
And again, I don't know people from Cincinnati. I don't know if that's a big Indianapolis base.
Yeah.
But that's another pretty major city you could essentially tap into. And, you know, so I mean, Louisville makes sense. Again, I would say and I don't even want to call it detriment because I don't really know. They didn't seem to be that popular, are the Pacers. And odds are if you're competing against the Pacers, you're probably going to be all right. Like it's not like this is a flashy team like the Heat or like it's the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
You can do some stuff to beat the Pacers.
Right. So that's interesting. That's interesting geographical based insight there. And so maybe Louisville feels like it's close to tapping into those markets. Maybe it's afraid of those markets. I don't know. That's something that's speculation based. But regardless, from my guess at this point is that if the NBA gets over its potential fear of Vegas, the team's going to Vegas. I would love so much for Kansas City to end up with an NBA team. But if Vegas is on the table for the NBA, I would think that's the place for it to go. Now, maybe it's not about being on or off the draft board. You know, like sometimes you hear, some teams don't even have Josh Rosen on their draft board. Like, what? What do you mean? That seems ridiculous. Maybe it's just about, you know, these pros and cons. And maybe if the NBA gets a viable option in Kansas City or Louisville, maybe they say, you know what? I'd rather have a slightly less ideal market for some distance from a casino owner also owning our basketball team. Maybe that is what it takes. But so if that is on the table, because again, I think if they don't mind the severity of the fear of Vegas, I think is huge, obviously, because if it's not that severe of a fear of Vegas, then it probably goes to Vegas. But if it is a discussion between Kansas City and Louisville, I think the third box is the one yet to be checked. Again, if you're just joining us, we talked to Johnny Carver last segment, and he said basically the three boxes that need to be checked are an arena, fan support, and a majority ownership group. Or a majority owner. Ownership group, it seems like Kansas City will be able to put together. Maybe Louisville already has.
Seems like a relatively easy thing to put together. You can find guys who are willing to pitch in the smaller
amounts. Find a bunch
of
multimillionaires who want to be a part of an NBA franchise.
There are a fair amount of even just Kansas City athletes who are rich. Like George Brett, maybe. Like, yeah, I'll be a 1%.
Sure.
You know, whatever. I'll dabble
in this. Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter is seen as the owner of the Marlins, even with Derek Jeter money, which is not ownership of a franchise.
He's at like 4%, I think.
It's something like
it's
that.
Less
it's
than
a
five.
Single
I know it's
percent.
Less than five.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's seen as the face of it because he's the minority owner that brought the group together. So he gets seen as the face of it. There are plenty of guys in the Kansas City area that I think would be interested on that level. But finding that majority ownership is the question. Now, I don't know if Louisville is any closer to making that happen than Kansas City is, but that seems like the real arms race right now.
Yeah, my guess would be, because when you think about Louisville and the richest people,
mm-hmm.
My guess is, and I don't know this for a fact, I don't know everything about Louisville, I think the richest person has a little bit of issues lately, and that's obviously Papa John's. Papa John's seems to be the biggest moneymaker in that area.
That's so interesting.
But again, let's say they are. That's, you know, essentially Papa John's is the big business. That's that guy owns, has the most money.
Uh-huh.
They have had a little bit of issues, and if I'm in the NBA, maybe like I don't necessarily want to team up with that guy.
But that's so like what about the richest people in Kansas? If the
yeah.
NBA is going to steer away from people with some questionable political ties, then Kansas is also going to have some troubles.
Yeah, well, and this is where, and again, like this is, and he hasn't talked about it, so like nobody has any idea if he has any interest in it. Like we talked about before the show, if you're going to have the majority owner in KC, the one that makes the most sense is Cliff Hilly.
It would be fantastic.
He's done a great job. Like, again, you look at the way Sporting's been run, you're like, I want my NBA team run like that.
Yep.
He's got the money, and he knows a bunch. He's made a lot of people a lot of money, so all of his friends are millionaires now because of him. So that could be your minority group.
Yes.
Now, who knows if he even
does
wants
he want to do
though.
That?
I know he sits courtside at every KU game. I know he's behind home plate at every Royals game. He's a huge sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily mean you want to own an NBA team, though.
Yeah. Oh, but it's so tempting.
He makes the most sense, though. Like, if it's
it
going to
be
a local owner, it's
it
probably
great.
Him.
Let's talk to JT. JT just called in to talk about all this. JT, long time no talk. How are you?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great.
I had a couple of thoughts on your NBA stuff, and then secondly, I'd like to throw in something on the national anthem because nobody's covered that enough yet.
Sure, fantastic. I thought today would be the first show in like a month. I didn't talk about it, but I'm glad that you're breaking that for me.
Absolutely. So as far as the ownership and somebody moving a team to Kansas City, an NBA team, I believe you guys have honed in on the right three pieces that need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
The ownership group is probably the hardest one to get, though,
yep.
of those three pieces, having somebody who can do that. So when you start looking at the other cities, I think it becomes more a comparison of the ownership groups in each city than any of the rest of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I really think if you just boil it down to that at first, and then you see who's there, who's a player, then you'll know which cities are in play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because if you step away from that and you worry about fan support and arenas and whatnot, there could be several other players in the mix. All right,
mm-hmm.
So that's one piece. Second thing on this, what's the cost to expand for hockey versus the NBA? Do you know?
I do not know. Or do you want me to look it up?
No, I don't know.
I'll look it up.
I'm just asking the question.
Sure.
Yeah, because if it's significantly cheaper, $1.4 billion is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's. In my opinion, that's overpriced almost for an expansion franchise. But I don't know. You get 40 home games and however many people you're packing in there, maybe it works. But I think hockey might be cheaper. I also think that this market doesn't have, you know, a KU in hockey,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it might be more palatable to the people here. So those those were my two thoughts on that piece. Now, to the national anthem thing, I think that people are failing to analyze this by following the money. I believe what's happened is the owners have successfully put the power in the hands of each of the teams to placate season ticket holders so that each of those owners can now keep the people that are their underlying or their primary base of funding happy. And at the same time, they have created an issue that is now a bargaining chip for them with the players when the next round of talks come up for the contract with the Players Association. By creating that issue, the owners have set themselves up to say, oh, you want 5% more? Then guess what? We're not taking this issue off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important thing you have when you go into those meetings is issues that each side is going to want to push on. And so if you can get the Players Association to have to argue for this mm-hmm. in order to want to make that change, the owners have set themselves up in a way that they can win some other issue that they want.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting and absolutely a part of it. JT, always good to hear from you. We'll knock out all those things you just talked about.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Let's go reverse order real quick just so we'll back it up. The only thing that JT said there that I think is worth pointing out that I don't agree with is that season ticket holders aren't really your primary base, nor or at least they're not your primary funding. That's coming from TV revenue and all of the merchandising that you can do. That's coming from a lot of places. The ticket thing is part of it, of course. But
there was a time where tickets was the main thing.
Yes.
TV money's just gotten so big now.
It's enormous.
It's TV. I think tickets
it's also
help.
Evolving.
I think tickets help. It's essentially game day operations.
Mm-hmm.
They help pay for that
for sure.
But in terms of your profits, that's your TV money.
And the CBA problem that it creates, I think the thing that I question is I'm not sure who it's good for. It's something that players have to work against if they want it to change in some way, which is good for the owners. But this is also something done in such poor faith with the players that I think this could be something where the Players Association has a tremendous bone to pick. Because this is a rule that if they did do it within the confines of the current CBA, it is going to, and I'm assuming that's something that the owners made sure was the case, although assuming that they did all of their homework on this stuff feels like an assumption that maybe we shouldn't continue to give them the benefit of the doubt on. If there's any loophole in it that they missed, then this is going to be bad for the owners because the players can say, you came in on this without even consulting us. This was your ruling. That's not how we do things. But if the owners did it in a way that does work within the confines of the current CBA, where they can make some rulings on things like this through whatever loopholes existed there, then it's probably good for the owners. But again, it's going to be something that the Players Association, they can fight it however much they want or however little they want, but they're going to have a huge bone to pick with the owners for creating a rule with outside of the confines of a CBA that usually handles those kinds of things. It is super interesting, though. Also, making it team-specific is something we've talked about over the last few days and on several different shows now. I wasn't going to completely juice this topic out today because I've done it on other shows, but this is also a different time slot and different listeners, so maybe we should. The NFL put this back in the media rotation in a way that is not good for them, and they are now making it team-based. So instead of it being something you can attack the league, if Donald Trump wants to attack someone, they'll attack the owner specific or the teams specifically. There are already people tweeting about what the Jets are doing. On the NHL thing, Rudy pulled up some numbers. You said, what did Vegas pay? Vegas paid $500 million.
Vegas paid $500.
And Seattle is next.
And it's expected to be between $600 and $700, most likely $650.
So about half as much as the NBA. Also, I as much as I'm still down with the idea of Kansas City getting an NHL team, for me, it's not really as much about Kansas City getting another pro sports team. It's about getting an NBA team. I'd be happy to see Kansas City get an NHL team. We could really throw our support behind that. It could be a lot of fun, especially seeing what this last expansion team just did. Even just having some success in year one would be fun. Also, you can look at what Vegas did as a blueprint to build. But I don't know if the NHL wants to keep expanding because the next team's going to Seattle.
Yeah, and NHL, like, let's say if for some reason Doug's go sale, they change the rules so expansion teams have more success.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, so if you're an expansion team,
it's great.
It looks like Seattle's definitely gonna get an NHL team,
yeah.
Which would maybe essentially help their NBA bid because mm-hmm. a new stadium is gonna come for the NHL team.
Yes.
But yeah, so like they've changed rules that makes it much easier for an NHL team to have early success. Now, not necessarily potentially winning the Stanley Cup success.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but have success.
Yeah. Was there anything else JT said, or did we just cover it all? I think we did.
Yeah, we covered it.
All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll, talk about whatever's left or next. Man, I couldn't pick a word, so I went with both of them. That's good radio right there.
This is Sports Sunday.
I think we pulled a pretty good pump fake on anybody who started listening at the beginning of the show. It was like 25 minutes of like serious sports Brett Veach Chiefs talk.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And then we, you know. Jesus, take the wheel a little bit.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Uh-oh, we're in the ditch. We have a few minutes left here on this edition of Sports Sunday here in Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Josh Briscoe. Rudy Salazar has been here for the whole thing, keeping us on the air. And I want to give you something very special this morning. I want to bring you one of my favorite new segments that has debuted over on ESPN Kansas City the last couple of weeks. I have a show over there called Almost Entirely Sports. You can listen to it 4 to 6 on 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, or you can watch the show on Facebook. We stream it every day, which is great fun. And you can listen to the podcast, Almost Entirely Sports, wherever you get your podcasts. But we have a segment over there that allows us to whip around the world and find all of the news that we either do or don't want to talk about. We will identify for you the things at the top of the proverbial sports section. And then we'll decide if we want to talk about it or not. Welcome to Headlines.
Headlines! I've got headlines over here! Do you want a headline? I've got plenty of them! Got breaking news here! Hey, you! You! You want some breaking news? What about you, old lady?
I'm going to read a headline, then Rudy, you're going to tell me if you want to click the headline and read more about it. Top headline on ESPN.com, Ricciardo nurses car home for Monaco win. Rudy, you want to click that headline?
I'm good.
Yeah, me too.
I actually watched it, so I'm good.
Yep, pass.
Hey, you, mister, you need some news. I've got news here. Just ask me, please. I need to give out news.
Clay Day, Warriors star evokes Game 6 heroics. Rudy, do you want to click this headline?
I really like that headline. Clay Day?
It's a good headline,
but I don't need
but that's all I needed. Next!
Hey, you look like you haven't been paying attention to the news lately. Do you need a newspaper? I bet you do. Here's one. Take it. No, why are you giving it back?
Rockets, quote, still confident despite CP3 uncertainty. Next! Not interested.
You need some news. Come get the news from me.
Ronaldo, it's been very nice playing for Real. Just do it. No.
I know. I want it.
No.
I need it.
No. Play the next.
News.
Egypt optimistic Salah can play in World Cup. Rudy, you get 5 seconds.
Mohamed Salah had the greatest season in EPL history. He really needs to play. This is like a huge thing. He's a Muslim who's now captured the world. Like, there's not a lot of those.
Here's another headline.
Trout, 5 for 5, 4 extra base hits, has career night in New York.
He has career night like every night, I feel like.
God.
Who's tired of the news?
Me.
Do you want a headline instead?
Laws 2018 Big Board, Mize tops MLB draft class.
If it was 2019, I'd be interested.
Good point. Also, I don't have any ESPN Insider to quote. Just couldn't read it anyway.
I don't even know what a newspaper is, but I know where to get all my news right here.
Fake promotional gold bars apparently appeared so much like the real thing that someone broke into a Michigan flooring shop to take them.
I'm kind of interested about that. I'm a little interested there.
WXMITV reports Olds to Gold hardware floors owner Rowdy Lapham arrived to work Monday to find his store in Grand Rapids burglarized. Foam rubber gold bars featuring the company's logo were strewn about. A rock was used to break through a window around 2 a.m. Sunday. The burglar was seen on surveillance video roaming through the shop. An employee tells WZZM-TV that the thief may have walked past a window and saw the stack of bars and thought, wow, someone forgot to put those gold bars away. The squeezable bars are for stress relief. Butler says the company's motto is stress-free flooring.
Hey, you! Mister! You need you need some news. I've got news here. Just ask me, please. I need to give out news.
Those are your headlines. Just a really bad day in sports headlines, though. Hoof-ha. Trout career day. Ronaldo, it's been nice.
That does worry me. I'm a Real Madrid fan. I'm worried I'm going to lose Ronaldo.
Oh, is he not definitely gone? Sounds like you should click that headline.
He's saying it's a mix. It's been an interesting year with that.
Sounds like he's gone, Rudy. Really.
He got a pay raise, but which made him happy, but now he's going
gone. He's gone, Rudy. Say your goodbyes to Ronaldo. Where's he going to go?
Probably back to England.
Hmm.
Man City, maybe, or United. One of those teams.
You're saying he's not going to join the Zlatan? In the MLS.
I think he will eventually.
Wayne Rooney's coming also, right?
Yeah. I think Ronaldo said he wants to, but I think he's still about 5 or 6 years from that.
Yeah, that makes sense. We'll be here for you, Ronaldo, whenever you're ready. Unless you get fat.
City.
Unless you get fat, then we don't want you anymore. If you don't have a six-pack to show off after your goals, it doesn't really count. All right, thanks again to Johnny Carver for joining us. Thank you, Rudy Salazar, for being here all morning. My name's Joshua Briscoe. You can, follow me on Twitter, JB Briscoe. Listen to my show on ESPN Kansas City. That's all I got. Talk to you next time, whenever that may be. Bye, Mom.